We do have age, an upper age limit, though, so you can't all tear off. The only thing keeping you here is the age limit. I would like for you to turn to Psalm 23. You heard of Psalm 23 before? That's usually a very well-known psalm for a lot of different reasons. But most of us like Psalm 23. I'm going to be speaking this morning from Psalm 23. I call it Musings on the 23rd Psalm. And I'm going to read it and then follow this outline that I put in the bulletin. Just things that struck me as I was studying it, reading it, and I'll share some things with you, and hopefully the Lord will use it in your life as well and increase your faith, edify you, and build you up in some manner. So Psalm 23, and again, if you are, where is this, following along with the Congregational Bible, page 410 is where this passage is found. I'm reading from the New International Version of the Bible. Not sure what year the publication is. Sometimes even the NIV is a little different depending on the publication year. But this is generally, if you have a New International Version, you'll be able to track with me very easily. Psalm 23 begins, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Would you bow with me for a moment? Lord, since you are our shepherd, we lack nothing. And so this morning we are confident that what we need in this very moment will be given by your hand. It's because of who you are, the kind of God you are, the confidence that we have in your character, that we can be confident that when we come to a table that is set, you will feed us and nourish us and build us up. Lord, we would ask that your grace would enable us to hunger and thirst after righteousness in this moment. Because we know that when we do, according to your promise, we will be satisfied. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So you know that I grew up in a rural area with farms all around the little town in which I lived. I did not grow up on a farm, but my father had, and so I heard a lot of stories of the farm when I was growing up. I had many friends who lived on farms, and I spent quite a bit of time around the farm then with my friends. Now, the farmers that I knew had beef cows. They had dairy cows. Some of them had hogs, and there were chickens. But I wasn't ever really around sheep before. I don't know much about sheep. Now, there was a family that everyone was familiar with in the area who had sheep. And I'd see them at the county fair, and they would have their sheep there, and they would conduct sheep shearing demonstrations and various things, but I wasn't ever around sheep all that much. Do you know who was around sheep a lot? King David. King David. And this is a psalm of David. In fact, David was a shepherd for the first part of his life. His father sent him out to watch and care for the family's flock. And David uses this very common part of ancient Near Eastern life as an extended metaphor for a relationship with the Lord. The images that he uses would have been very familiar to anyone who lived in that area. They could see these scenes all around them. They could close their eyes and almost touch and taste and smell these scenes. So it was easily understood. It was the stuff of daily life. And it is intended to be the stuff of daily life for you and me as well. Though you and I may never have been around sheep, I think we can grasp what is being said in this psalm and we can relate it to our own lives. David knew sheep and he knew shepherds because he was a shepherd. And as I mentioned, his father made him shepherd of the family flock when he was young, and he learned many life lessons doing that. I tell you, you learn a lot of life lessons when you're on the farm. The fact that we have moved away from the family farm that used to be so common, our culture doesn't know much about life any longer. Basic things we have to try to define again. There's a lot of value in what you learn when you see life up close like you do on a farm. So David learned much of the Lord. Later, the Lord would make him a shepherd of his people Israel. So David uses this image to teach us about the Lord and about our life in the Lord. And so we're going to take a look at this psalm today, and I think we'll probably come back to it again next week as well. And as I said, the title is Musings on the 23rd Psalm. A lot of times when I do more than one message from a passage of Scripture, I begin an outline one week and then continue on that same outline, picking up where I left off the previous week and continue to build that same outline. But these messages are going to be a little different. They will relate to one another, but the flow of thought from one to the next won't be, just building one upon another. They're going to be separate musings, standalone kind of, with their own outlines. But in this psalm, David tells us how to go about life in a relationship with the Lord. Now, the details of your life and my life will vary greatly. Each story will be unique to that particular individual. But to navigate life well for every one of us, no matter the details, we must make the Lord and our relationship with Him the primary thing. Primary thing. Because of this emphasis, this psalm is a comforting psalm for many people in many circumstances. That's why so many people find it helpful at funerals, for instance. But it has more to do with life, I think, than death. So let's look at it to gain instruction for life that brings comfort to us. There are three overarching truths about God and our relationship with Him that produces peace and comfort. And we're going to talk about those three overarching truths this morning. So verse 1 is a verse that basically summarizes the message of this psalm for us. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. This is the first thing that we must get right if we want to find peace and comfort in life. The first overarching truth about the Lord and our relationship with Him that produces comfort is that He leads us. That's the first point there on the outline. He leads us. The Lord is the shepherd. The shepherd goes out in front and the sheep follow along. And so we must sure to get this right, that he is leading and we are following. That's our role. When we follow his lead, so much more of our life will seem right. Well, this is the fundamental relationship that we have to get right. So we need to settle this matter. Right? That's the second fill-in. We need to settle this matter that he leads and we follow. So we must ask ourselves, who is leading our life, or who is leading your life, my life? Am I leading my life? Am I following someone else and giving over to them this role that should only belong to the Lord? Or am I following the Lord in a way that brings harmony and fluidity to the motion of my life? You know, the first thing that dance partners have to decide is who will lead. Once that is agreed upon, they can move together as one. Think Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. It's beautiful to watch when there is this agreement. So, who is leading your life? For more than 50 years, Leith Anderson's father was a pastor and conducted numerous funerals. And one of the stories that Anderson's father would tell was of a little boy who was desperately ill. His parents recognized that he probably would soon die. They sent for the local pastor. He came at night to visit the child who was semi-conscious. The pastor was unable to speak. The child was unable to speak, and apparently he never spoke in any acknowledgement of the pastor's presence. But the pastor stayed with him and prayed over him. And he was alone in the child's upstairs room and finally left late at night. He returned early the next morning after the boy had passed on. The pastor did his best to console the parents. He prayed with them. He grieved with them over the loss of this child. Later, the parents asked the pastor if he had any explanation for something that had happened after he had left the night that the child had died. They told the pastor that in the hours before their son died and at the time of his death, he was holding the ring finger of one hand with his other hand. It was resting like this. In fact, he died in that position. It was then the pastor explained what he had said that evening when he was alone with the child. He said he wanted to explain to this little boy on the edge of eternity not only the importance of being a Christian, but in a child's language, how to become a Christian. And so he said he had taken their son's hand and first held his thumb like this. And he said to him, "This thumb represents the word the. We're going to talk about the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." So the thumb is the because there is only one who can fit this bill. He is unique. He's one of a kind. Then he held the child's next finger and he said, "This finger is for the word Lord. Jesus is here. He's Lord." The next finger is for the word is. The Lord is. And that means God is always present with you. And so he is by your side in this moment. The next finger, the ring finger, is the word my. And this means that you have a personal faith in Jesus. You make a personal commitment. You have a relationship with him. He is yours and you are his. And for the last finger, that's the word shepherd. He is the one who leads you. He's the one who died for your sins. He rose from the dead. He cares for you. He loves you. Jesus is your shepherd. And so while the child had not spoken during any of that time, apparently the child had heard. Because before he died, he put his hand around this finger to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." You and I need to personally commit to follow the Lord, to trust him. to personally affirm our relationship is one of Him leading, and we follow. So the Lord is my shepherd. Now it makes all the difference in the world who the shepherd is, right? You choose the right one to lead you. And then the next step is to trust His lead. And so if you have your outline, we need to trust Him to lead. When we come to Him as our shepherd and we say we're going to follow, that means we have to trust Him. Wherever He goes, we're going to go. We can't choose our own way. That's the description of sin, by the way. Isaiah 53, in the description of Jesus taking the sins of the world upon Himself, it says, all we like what? Sheep have done what? Gone astray. We all have turned to our own way. But then the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. So we can't choose our own way. We make a decision and we choose to follow the Lord. So we have to trust Him to lead us. David says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. I lack nothing, this translation says. And what that means is that you shall not lack any good thing that you need. When you follow Him, He will take you down the path that you need to go, and you will lack no good thing that you need. To follow all the time, we have to believe that the Lord will supply all that we need. Let me say that what God thinks we need and what we think we need may not match. But this is why we make a prior commitment to follow. We let Him decide, and then we trust. Now, one of the things that disturbs our peace in life is fear. Because life, at times, can be a scary place. And fear is a powerful motivator. We fear circumstances in life. We fear failure. Much of our behavior, our attitudes, our moods can be dictated by our fears. And underlying much of it is the realization that we don't have the ability to control the stuff of life. And that lack of control scares us. David confronted this very human emotion in his life. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David confronted death on every side of life, didn't he? When he was just a boy. The bear, the lion, threatened his flock. And David trusted the Lord. King Saul later often tried to kill him. And then even his own son wanted to take the throne from him and threatened his life. A fear could have paralyzed David. But he learned not to give in to fear. So how do we learn to overcome our fears? David remembered his shepherd. That's the only reason he can overcome fear, is because he knew who his shepherd was. And the Lord had pledged His presence to him. Thou art with me. I won't fear because Thou art with me. You, God, are with me. You are my shepherd. I will lack nothing. Therefore, when I confront fear, I don't need to be afraid because Your presence is there. Just as the knowledge that the Lord as a shepherd enabled him to trust the Lord to supply all he needed, the knowledge that the Lord was always present enabled him to trust God to see him through the dangers of life. Now, the valley of the shadow of death are those things in life that cause us to be afraid. It doesn't have to be the actual threat of death, though that may be it. But it's also like the fear of failure or disappointing our family or 100 other things that cause you to be afraid. David knew that if God had led him into that valley, then He would be with him. And if he had the Lord's presence, then no ultimate harm could come to him. God leads you into the valley. God leads you there. He's the shepherd, right? So if you're following and you wind up in the valley, that's because he led you there. But the encouraging thing is that he's with you there. He didn't lead you there and then depart. He's going to lead you through it because he's going to be with you and take you through it. We need to start viewing things differently. We need to view it from this perspective that God is leading, we're following, and he's never going to leave us. That changes then our response to the valley. Now, does this mean that everything will turn out to be a success in your life? No. There's no guarantee of what we call success. The guarantee is that the Lord will be with you, and though it may not turn out as you hoped, it will turn out as God intended, and it will be for your good. David wants us to know that we can follow the Lord into the unknown. We can follow the Lord into deep waters. We can follow the Lord when we sense there is risk involved and things too great for us. That the Lord will be with us and he will ultimately make all things work together for our good. This means that the choices that I then make do not have to be motivated by what I fear. My choices instead may be motivated by faith. There's a huge difference in that. Huge difference. Don't allow fear to motivate your choices. Make your choices based on faith, the trust in the shepherd, the trust that you know God is with you and leading you. Make your choices there. Gary Haugen, the founder of International Justice Mission, which is a Christian organization that frees people trapped in sex trafficking, describes God's calling to begin this ministry. He says, I vividly remember when I finally had to make a decision to abandon my career at the U.S. Department of Justice to become the first employee of a not-for-profit organization that didn't yet actually exist that I was going to call International Justice Mission. I had worked for 3 years with friends on the idea of this and was very excited in theory about this dream of following Jesus and the work of justice in the world, but then I had to actually act. I had to walk into the Department of Justice and turn in my badge. I tried to be very brave and very safe. That is to say, I walked in and I asked my bosses for a year-long leave of absence, and they politely declined. He said, I was suddenly feeling very nervous. What was I really afraid of? As I thought about it, I feared humiliation. If my little justice ministry idea didn't work, no one in my family was going to die. If IJM turned out to be a bad idea and collapsed, my kids weren't going to starve. We'd probably just have to live with my parents for a while until I could find another job. But with my education, odds are I would soon find a job. The fact is, I would be terribly embarrassed. Having told everybody about my great idea, they would know that it was a bad idea or that I was a bad leader. Either way, it would be humiliating. So there it was, my boundary of fear. I sensed God inviting me to an extraordinary adventure of service, but deep inside I was afraid of looking like a fool and a loser. This was actually very helpful to see because it helped me get past it. When I am older, do I really want to look back and say, yeah, I sensed God was calling me to lead a movement to bring rescue to people who desperately need an advocate in the world, but I was afraid of getting embarrassed, so I never tried. Fear is normal, even among the earnest and the devout. fear may be overcome. First, we must see the opportunity it provides, a revelation that only comes as we step to the precipice of action. What does it mean that God leads us? It means He goes before us. We can trust the Lord to sustain us wherever He leads us. In addition, He has promised that because He is my shepherd, I will not lack anything I need. This is part of what it means to follow the Lord. We trust Him to go where He leads. Anywhere. Anywhere He leads. We trust Him. A second overarching truth about God and our relationship to Him that brings us comfort is found all the way down in verse 6, the very first part. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Now, when I was a kid, we used to sing this song, surely goodness and mercy shall, can't hit that high note anymore, follow me. I didn't know what surely goodness was. Thought it belonged to Shirley. It just means certainly, certainly, your goodness, God, will follow me all the days of my life. You see, not only does God lead us, He also pursues us. What an encouraging thought that God pursues us. Where it says, surely your goodness and love will follow me, the word actually means pursues. Where were the Israelites most vulnerable when the Lord led them out of Egypt? They were most vulnerable from behind. The pillar of cloud led them out all the way to the Red Sea. And what happened? Pharaoh's army pursued them from behind to trap them against the sea. This verse is significant because not only does the Lord lead us, He also goes behind us and pursues us with His goodness and mercy. Evil cannot harm me from behind. The conclusion to Psalm 121 says, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and you're coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So any and every direction, the Lord is there. And what is it that is pursuing you? Goodness and mercy. Goodness and love, according to this translation. The word love here is from the Hebrew word Chesed, which is God's covenant love, His steadfast love, His faithful love, a love that will not let go of His covenant people. So often we are afraid that if we miss God's will, we'll never find it again, or that we will disappoint Him so much that He will not want to have anything to do with us again. We get discouraged with ourselves and we want to give up. But this verse tells us that God is pursuing us. He's chasing us down. He won't leave us alone. He pursues us with His goodness and with His steadfast love. So the Lord is pursuing you, not to threaten you with destruction, but to threaten you with blessing. It's not a threat, right? He wants to bless you. He wants to give you His mercy, His grace. He wants to give you His good things that flow from His character as being good. And He's pursuing you throughout your life, all the way to the end. What an encouragement. God leads us and He pursues us. You're surrounded. You are surrounded by God. What an encouragement. Why should you fear? Why should I fear? God has us. The last half of verse 6 says that he also preserves us. David knew, because God led him, because God was pursuing him, he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord preserves us. And that's how this psalm ends. God goes before us to lead us. He goes behind us so his covenant love pursues us. He then preserves us for himself. Has he left anything out? No. No. This psalm gives us the peace and comfort of knowing that the Lord is our shepherd. This is the fundamental issue of life that we need to settle. Who is leading your life? What choice have you made? Who is leading your life? Because the life that's described in this psalm is yours when you choose the Lord, when you let him lead, when you trust him. He will lead you, he will pursue you, he will preserve you. But the fundamental choice you have to make is to follow. He leads, you will follow. Have you made that choice? I found it helpful for me, as I read Psalm 23, to read it as a prayer. You know, it starts out talking about God in a third person. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. When I pray this, I say, you make me lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside quiet waters. I want to pray this prayer, this psalm this morning. And I'm going to pray it in that way, as a personal relationship with the Lord. And I want you to pray it that way as well. And I want you to hold your ring finger with your other hand this morning. Remember, the Lord is my shepherd. This is your acknowledgement that the Lord is a shepherd and you are choosing to follow him. So as I pray this and you pray along with me in your heart, would you just acknowledge this to the Lord between you and him? Lord, I am choosing to follow you. So let's bow and let's pray. Lord, you are my shepherd. Because of this, I will lack nothing that I need. You make me lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside quiet waters. You refresh my soul. You guide me along the right paths of my life for your name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. O Lord, surely your goodness and steadfast love will pursue me all the days of my life. Therefore, I know I will dwell in your house forever. Amen. Would you stand with me as we sing our final song, All the Way My Shepherd Leads Me.